one special announcement this morning, and that is that we're going to have a new individual coming on staff with us at the church. And that is my nephew, Larry Smith. And he's going to be moving up from New Brunswick, will be with us February 1st, taking on responsibility for the spiritual development of our lives as a church. He'll be over looking at the Diamond Development Program. He'll be working with small groups and a number of other things that will be happening. So we are excited about that. This has been in the process for about a year, and it's quite a move for them. Larry has to lay aside two businesses that he has there, leaving a lovely new home that they are living in. Deidre is leaving a real good job in the bank there. And I told them, you better be sure this is a calling from the Lord. Because 6 months from now, you're going to be saying to yourself, why did we ever make this move? But I really believe it is a calling from the Lord. It's something that Larry, we've been in conversation back and forth for the last year. And he was just sharing, I can't shake this. He says, everything in the natural says this is not a good move. It's not necessarily a good move financially. It's not necessarily a good move as far as leaving a home and place where they've lived all their lives, except for the call of God that Larry's feeling in his heart to come and to work here with us in the church. And we had an opening, and so we were, again, working with this for the last number of months. So we look forward to Larry joining us February 1st. He might get here a week ahead of time, I don't know. But pray for this, and pray that God is putting the foundation pieces together as far as staffing and ministry people in our church so that we can move into all that God has for us in the future. Well, that brings us to our message this morning. Oh, let me add one thing. This coming Wednesday night, John, who had gone to Uganda and visited Jamie there, and we prayed and commissioned and sent him off. This coming Wednesday night, we're going to give some time for John to share some of his experiences, the things that he had. So don't miss that. That's another great reason to come out on Wednesday night and to get caught up in what God's been doing in Uganda. All right. The beginning of every year, I seek the Lord for what does he want to do in this coming year? What is his message to us as a church? What would be the theme for the coming year? And it's been amazing to me how God has honored that. And I do believe, according to your faith, be it unto you. You might be part of a church, and we were a church that we never did that for years. We've probably done it now for the last 10 years. But it's not that you have to do this, but I do believe, according to your faith, be it unto you. And I think if you look to the Lord and you say, Lord, we want to know a direction, a theme for this year, that the Lord is faithful in giving that to you. And so as I was waiting and upon the Lord of what he would have for this year, two things came to my mind. And the first one, that this was going to be a year of double portion. That God wanted to give us a double portion. You don't need to bring that up yet. I'm not quite there yet. I'll show you when it first comes. But this is a year of double portion. And I thought of different places in the Bible, and we're going to touch them this morning. I didn't really realize how many. I find that in the New King James Version, there's four places in the Scripture that mentions a double portion. And I'm going to touch them briefly this morning. Now, today in this message, I'm just going to give you an overview. We'll come back in, you know, succeeding weeks, and we're going to go deeper into each aspect of this. But today, I just want to give you an overview so you see sort of the big picture. Then we're going to go back, and we're going to look at it individually. The more I looked at this, I tell you folks, honestly, the more excited I got about this. The more excited I was to think that this is a year of double portion. And then the second thing that followed very quickly on that is I felt the Lord say, this is also a year of doubling your sacrifice, doubling your commitment. And so I sort of weighed those two things together because, you know, they are sort of two sides of one coin. You want a double portion, but there's also an aspect for us to sow into that, to reap this harvest of a double portion by an aspect of double commitment and double sacrifice to the Lord. And so I just had those were the first two impressions as I was in prayer. They just kept rolling back over me. And without going to the scripture, without looking at it, those were just the twin emphasis that came to me. And then I started looking at the year 2014. And I realized 2014, or especially the 14, is a double seven. And seven in the scripture is a number of completion. 7 weeks. The Lord created the earth in 7 days. Seven over and over in the scripture is a number of completion. And in 2007, we believed the Lord. We had a mortgage on our property at that point, that by the end of the year, we would be able to pay that mortgage off. And I won't go into the story, but I tell you, miraculously, on the last day, New Year's Eve, we received the last money that allowed us to pay off the mortgage completely. And that was such a blessing. But again, that was an emphasis we felt in 2007. Now, 14 is double that. It's like God gives a portion. He created the world in 7 days. But now, if he was going to do a double portion, it would be like another seven. And it just confirmed to me something that I hadn't even thought about other than praying and saying, this is a year of double portion. I thought, you know what? Even the numbers of the year speaks to this, that this is a double seven, a year where God's going to do something, but then he's going to do it again. It's a doubling of it. As I went to the scripture, there's 4 places in scripture. I'll tell you quickly, and then I'm going to have Autumn bring up the notes as we get to it. But let me just tell you the 4 portions. The first portion is in the Old Testament, where we see the inheritance rules. The second area, well, I could say that, is a prophetic word towards the church. And we're going to see that the Lord says, I'll give you a double portion. The third area was Elisha, who was a servant of the prophet Elijah, who, when he was asked what he wanted, he said, I want a double portion of Elijah's spirit. I want double what Elijah had. And he received a double portion, Elisha. And then the last portion, where it speaks of a double portion, was when Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel, but before she had conceived Samuel, she was barren. She didn't have children. And they went up to the temple to worship, and she was very distressed. She was discouraged. She was down. And her husband, as they were bringing the offering to the temple, it says that her husband gave Hannah a double portion of the offering. And as we're going to see in a moment, she spoke with Eli, the priest, and she conceived and had a child subsequently and offered Samuel to the Lord as to be used in his work. So those are the 4 occasions. And so I just want to briefly touch these and draw the analogy to us today. So let's bring the first one up, Autumn. The double portion of inheritance, and there's a fill-in sheet that you can take out. I want you to have something in your hand that you can consider. The inheritance rules was this, that the double portion of the inheritance went to the firstborn. And you find the verse, and he shall acknowledge the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he has. for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. In other words, if a person had four children, and if we're putting in today's standards, there was an inheritance of $100,000, normally we would think, well, to divide it evenly, each child would get $25,000. But in the Bible time, if there were four children, the eldest would get a double portion of the others. And so it would work out this way. The eldest would get $40,000, and then each other of the three would get $20,000. It was $40,000, $20,000, $20,000, not $25,000, $25,000, $25,000, $25,000. There was responsibilities that the elder child had to carry out, and so there was provisions given to the eldest child to compensate for the things he had to do as being the eldest. And also recognizing, as it says here in the scripture, he opened the womb, he's the strongest. In that sense, there was a firstborn emphasis. And so the firstborn was to receive a double portion. Now, we look at the scripture in Colossians 1:15, and it says Christ is the firstborn. Christ is the firstborn. It says this, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So Christ is our elder brother, as it were. And we are, as it calls Christ our elder brother, only in the aspect of the flesh, the physical side of Jesus. He was born of a virgin. So we just celebrated that. That baby that was born, we called the Son of God. Now, there was an eternal part of Christ, of course. But the physical part of Jesus had a beginning at Bethlehem. And so the scripture refers to him as the firstborn of all creation. Now, the Bible also tells us that we as Christians are the body of Christ, that he's the head and we're the body. So the next fill in it, we are the body of Christ, the firstborn. I just want you to see, and I was surprised as I looked at these portions of scripture, and I just saw things sort of falling into place of why this would be a year of double portion for us. It's just not like we just say, oh, you know what? I want a double portion. And there's no basis for it. There's no rhyme or reason, or there's no foundation for it. But in the scripture, there is a sound foundation. Christ is the firstborn. A double portion goes to the firstborn. We are the body of Christ. And so listen to what it says here in Ephesians 1 and verses 18 to 19, 22 to 23. Paul's writing this church, and he says, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So he's saying in this portion of scripture, the church is the body of Christ, and he's put everything under his feet. Not everything under his head. Everything under his feet. The feet is the lowest part of the body. And so we, no matter where you are in the body of Christ, you have that inheritance. And Paul writes, he said, I want you to see the riches of this inheritance that you have in Christ. There is a double portion to be claimed by Christians as a result of being a child of God and being the body of Christ. There is a legal basis, a scriptural basis, for us to be able to say, you know what? I believe for this double portion. It says in the scripture, you know, he said, I pray that your minds would be enlightened. Because many times our minds aren't enlightened. We're not believing for it. We don't stretch towards it. We just sort of are there. We don't receive our inheritance. But I want you to know that God has something for you. I believe he has something for you this year that you didn't get last year. I believe that God wants us to exercise our faith for a double portion. And that this is not selfish. This is not trying to do it at the expense of someone else or that we're better than someone else. No, it's just our inheritance in Christ. And he wants us to believe for it and act towards that double portion. Now, here's another portion, and this was the part I said that was prophesied about a double portion in the Old Testament about the church, and it's in Isaiah 61 and verse 7. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Now, this is spoken prophetically towards the church. That's telling us that there's something for us. That you might have had trouble, you might have had some difficulty, but that the Lord is going to give us double. And I just want you to start thinking in your mind about a double portion. Not just generally, well, double portion, and leave it just sort of generically up in the air. Because faith always needs to be specific. It needs to focus in on something. And I believe that over the next number of weeks, that the Lord will show each one of us individually and as families what you can believe for in this year, that this is a year of double portion. And I'm believing that I'm going to lay hold of this. I'm going to believe towards it. I'm going to exercise my faith towards it. That there will be a double portion come towards me. Now, I'm going to keep moving because our time is limited this morning, but I'm just giving you an overview. We may go back and revisit that again in another message at another time. But let me just move on to the next portion where Elisha desires and asks for a double portion anointing. That's your next fill-in. Elijah was a great prophet. Great miracles listed in the scripture of what he did. Elisha was his servant. How does it describe Elisha? He poured water on the hands of Elijah. In other words, when Elijah wanted to wash his hands, he'd say, Elisha, would you get me some water? Elisha would come with the basin. He would pour the water over Elijah's hands as Elijah washed his hands. He was a servant. Elisha. In fact, later on, they said, who is this guy? And they referred to him, well, that's the guy that poured water on the hands of Elijah. He was a servant. But he had an ambition. He had a spiritual desire. And he's following him, and he's following Elijah. And Elijah's getting towards the end of his time. And you can read this all in 2 Kings. He's coming towards the end of his time. And eventually he says to Elisha, what do you desire from me before I go? And Elisha said, I pray that I have a double portion of your spirit. In other words, he wanted a double portion of Elijah's anointing. Now, I never did go through and count these personally, but I have... You may want to turn that off if you can. I haven't counted these personally, but my understanding, I heard someone share this, and this is really not the how you would indicate this, but listed in the scripture, Elijah did 7 miracles, and Elisha did 13 miracles when he was living. But there was one other miracle that happened after Elijah's death. They threw a dead body into the grave area where Elisha was, and the man came back to life. It was almost like the Lord said, okay, one more miracle for this guy. Wanted a double portion. Now, again, that's sort of a lightness. I'm not saying that's the indication of double portion. But it does show Elijah had a hunger to carry on the ministry of Elijah. But not just carrying it on and be like Elijah. Listen, he wanted a double portion. He had a spiritual hunger, a spiritual desire. And there's nothing wrong with spiritual desire. All the disciples of Jesus wanted to be great, and they were constantly bickering about being great. You never see once Jesus telling his disciples, "Guys, I'm going to tell you something once, and I'm not going to tell you again. I never want any of you arguing and desiring to be great." He never told them that. He didn't want to squelch their desire to be great. But he told them, "I'll tell you who the greatest is. The greatest is the servant. And you that would be greatest among you, let him be servant of all." See, there's nothing wrong with spiritual ambition. Nothing wrong with wanting to do more for God. To be more used of God. God desires that. He loves that. When people have a heart for him and they want to do more for him. Elisha had a heart for a double portion. I wonder about us today. Do you have a spiritual hunger? Could this year, 2014, be a year where you can reach out for a double portion? You see something in someone else and you say, "Boy, I really like that in him. I love that generosity in him." Or, "I love that ability in that person to be able to do this." And you see it. There's nothing wrong with saying, God, I want a double portion of that spirit. I remember when I was young, I never necessarily said the double part, but I remember as a young, I would talk many times because I sort of put my pastor up on it. You know, now that I'm older, he wasn't necessarily that much greater than anyone else. But I always put him up on I just want to be like Frank Beaudry. Because he was my pastor when I was a teenager. Oh, if I could just be like him. And there were different people. And I'd read something in the Bible and I'd say, I want to be like Daniel. That could stand, you know, and not defile himself with the king's. I want to be like Joseph. But what if there was a desire and a say, there's nothing wrong with a desire. I want a double portion of that person's spirit. I want a double portion of what they have. Now, we may go back and do this whole message on this aspect, but let me just give you the overview. Elijah says to him, "I'm going up to," I think the first one was Gilgal. And he says, "You stay here." And Elisha says, "No way, I'm going with you." Then he goes to Elijah says, "I'm going over to Bethel, and you stay here." Elisha says, "No." He says, as my soul lives, I'm going with you." Because this is what Elijah had said to him when he asked for the double portion. He says, "If you see me when I go, it'll be yours." Elisha was not going to take his eyes off him. You read the story also. He comes to the school of the prophets. And all the young men come out. And they try to talk to Elisha. "Your master's getting older. We believe the Lord's told us that his time is short." And it says Elisha just ignored and said, "Be quiet." He just kept following. He was just dead on Elijah. And finally, Elijah says to him, "I'm going to the Jordan. You stay here." Now, it's interesting that Elijah tells him to stay there. It wasn't like Elijah says, "You follow me," and he, you know, reluctantly. You know, everything was telling him, "It's okay for you to stay." See, it was going to be his own initiative. It wasn't going to be because someone else was making him or expected. Elijah said to him, "You just stay here. You don't have to come. I'm going to Jordan." And Elijah said, you can read it, he said, "No way, I'm going with you." And when they got to the Jordan, a chariot of fire came down. It said, separated the two of them. Elijah was taken up into heaven. And the mantle that Elijah had floated down. And Elisha went and picked up that mantle. And he came back to the Jordan. When they came over the Jordan, Elijah had taken the mantle and hit the Jordan. The Jordan split and they walked across on dry ground. After Elijah's gone, Elisha picks up the mantle. He's just a servant boy. He's been with Elijah, but he's got the mantle. And he believes he has the double portion. He comes back to the River Jordan, and he takes the mantle, and he says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And he smites the river, and it opens up. And everyone, when they saw that, they said, "The spirit that was on Elijah is now on Elisha." And he goes on, and his ministry begins. A year of double portion. What are you desiring? What are you hungering for? What aspect of ministry, anointing, would the Lord want you to desire? No one's going to force it on you. No one's going to condemn you if you don't move into it. In fact, in Elisha's case, everybody was distracting him. But he wasn't going to allow any distractions. He had a single focus. I'm going to keep my eyes on Elijah, and I want a double portion, and I'm going to see him when he goes. And he walked with that single focus, and he received the double portion. The portions of Scripture is here. The other fill-in after it says Elijah desired and asked for a double portion, I just sort of went right through it. But Elisha had to focus and overcome distractions. That's the next fill-in. Here's the last one, Hannah. As I said, she was married to Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives. The one wife had many children. Hannah desired to have children, but she didn't have any children. And it troubled her and bothered her. And apparently the other wife despised her because she didn't have any children. She felt oppressed. She felt put down. She was discouraged. They're going up to Jerusalem to offer their sacrifice to the Lord. I don't know all about what it means, but the scripture says that Elkanah gave Hannah a double portion. His other wife was there. She was going to participate in the offering. But God, or Elkanah, gave Hannah a double portion. So in the aspect of offering and sacrifice, Hannah brought and participated in a double portion. Now, this is what was interesting to me, because when I first felt about this year, I felt it should be a year to believe for a double portion. But it was also a year where the Lord was challenging us to increase our sacrifice and our commitment. And I didn't know at that time that when I looked at the places in the scripture, that one of them would be referring to Hannah, who was giving a double portion and participating in a double portion of offering. And it just, again, it just sort of verified that what I was feeling from the Lord had a scriptural basis. And I really believe that part of our receiving this double portion is to sow into it by asking the Lord, "How do you want me to bring my offering this year? The offering of my time. The offering of my focus, as it were." Because I think it needs to come, as in Elisha's case, to a single focus. And if you want something double, you have to sow into it. In fact, different verses came to my mind as I thought about this, that it's better to give than to receive. And that the Lord said, "With the same measure you give, I'll give it back to you." And if we're believing for a double portion back, the thought crossed my mind, would it be possible the Lord is asking me to double my commitment to Him this year? To double my sacrifice to Him? And if I double that, I'm sowing into and I'm laying that scriptural foundation that He can then bless me back with double. What happened in Hannah's case, she comes up with her offering, She comes before Elijah, and it said, you can read it all in the scriptures that are listed there. I only listed the verse. In fact, maybe I should give you the fill-ins. Hannah received a double portion of the offering. The second fill-in is Hannah was barren but prayed diligently for a child. And it says, but Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. In other words, when Hannah comes up before and when she's bringing her offering, it says that she was distressed and she had her head down and she's praying intently under her breath. Eli, the priest, watches her and he sees her conduct and he thinks she's drunk. And so he comes to Hannah and he reproves her and says, you know, you really shouldn't be drinking like this, especially when you're coming to bring your offering to the Lord. And Hannah says these words that we just read. No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. She had poured out her soul before the Lord in an intensity and in a prayer. And Eli asks her, and she says, you know, I'm believing for a child. And Eli tells her, you're going to receive that this year. And tells that she went home, she conceived, and she bore Samuel that year. Would it have happened if she hadn't come with that intensity? I don't know. But the Bible tells us the story. So as I put all of these things together, I ask myself, okay, what are the things that we should ask ourselves? What are some of the questions that we should ask ourselves about? And here are some of the questions that came to me. What is troubling and discouraging me? What is troubling and discouraging me? You know, as I look at it as church, now that we came to the end of 2013, and I look back over the year 2013, and I think to myself, that was a troubling year. It really was, and I don't want to go into the history of things that happened even a year ago now. And I'm thinking, man, that was a tough time to go through. That was a troubling time to go through. I looked back at our theme of last year. It was renewal. We talked about an eagle preening and pulling out feathers so we could be refreshed and renewed. And I'm not referring to anything in particular other than the fact I believe that that was a year of renewal. It was a year of stripping. It was a year of preparation. It was a troubling year. We didn't grow in attendance last year, which we had over every other year. Our offering, thank the Lord, held pretty even across the board as far as our income. But it was a troubling year. It wasn't a year that we have been used to. The church just sort of growing and everything going ahead and everything going well. We went through a troubling time. When I think about it, God gave us grace going through it, remarkable grace. And I think God worked his grace in every situation, and I don't have any regrets on what we did or how we did things, or even having to go through it, because it was a year of preparation. It was our year of renewal. But I'm looking forward to 2014. And I believe this is a year of double portion. I believe this is a year where we can look to the future and say, you know what? As a church, as families in the church, as individuals, so this is a year of double portion. Now, how do we activate it? You have to activate it by faith. You see, I know some of you haven't thought of it. I've had the opportunity because I've been mulling these things over in my mind for the last 4 weeks or more, considering and praying about our theme for this coming year. So I know that for many of you, you're hearing this for the first time. and you have lots of questions. And here's the thing. There's no pressure in any of this. Like, you have to do anything other than the fact, if this is a word from the Lord, let the Lord speak it into your heart. Let him speak it into your soul. So it's just like, you know, when we were talking earlier about Larry, that no one's persuading him to come. He just knows, I need to do this. You know, and the same with us. I want us as a church to move forward into this year of double portion, but with no one, oh, I got to do it because the pastor said that, or the elders want us to do that, or this or that. No, that's not it. I want you to prayerfully consider these things. I want you to prayerfully talk about it in your family and say, what would this mean for us? Is God saying something to us? Is this something that we feel confirmed in our spirit that the Lord is saying this is what should happen? See, when Eli said to Hannah, you're going to have a child by this time next year, she had to receive it. She could have just said, oh, that's just the old priest. That's all he's talking about. But she had to receive it. You know what it reminds me? And some of you remember the story, I don't know how many years ago now. There was a young couple in the congregation that had desired to have children for years and years and did not have any children. In fact, had adopted a child. Finally, not that that was anything wrong, it was great, but I'm just saying they couldn't have natural children themselves. And we had a visiting speaker. I still remember the Sunday. He's standing right where I'm standing now, and he's preaching, and he stops, and he said, there's somebody in this congregation, and you've desired to have a baby, and for years, and you haven't been able to conceive. He said, I'm wanting to tell you, name the baby right now. You're pregnant. How many remember? Yeah. So I'm not telling anything out of the way. That's exactly what happened. Tracy Fast was sitting right back there where Glenn is sitting. She told me after, she said, I claim that word. She said, I named the baby right then, sitting in the chair. And she named the first baby, and it was sort of a strange name. She said, oh, no, I'm not going to name that. And she named a baby, a male baby. Put the name to him. She went home. Went to the doctor. Found out she was pregnant. I don't know whether it was the next Sunday or whether it was two Sundays after. I think it was the second Sunday after that happened. She came to me and talked to me. She said, can I talk to the congregation? And I said, and she told me what had happened. I said, by all means. And she got up and she stood here and she said, I wasn't going to say anything. Because I thought to myself, what if I miscarriage? What if it doesn't turn out? What if it's not a boy? In fact, she had just named, they had adopted a little girl. And she named a boy. And then she stood here and she said, but she said, I thought to myself, if this is a miracle baby, then I can proclaim it. And 9 months later, she had a little baby boy. Now, why did that work? I think she was like Hannah. She laid hold of the promise. When we talk about a double portion, it doesn't mean that, oh, it's just going to happen to everybody. No, it will happen to those that by the Spirit are prompted by faith to lay hold of it. Just to lay hold of it. And then you leave the results with God. But you have to exercise your faith to lay hold of it. So on the back of your sheet, I put a little worksheet here. And I want you to take this worksheet home and think about it and pray about it and see what the Lord says to you about it. Because on the back I put, I activate my faith to receive a double portion in 2014. And this is what it says. this is how I felt, to put it, you know, and you can make this your own, change it, or don't even use this, whatever you feel. But this is just something to give you a worksheet to think towards. And I just sort of went back to where Hannah was. Here are the things that have troubled and discouraged me in the past year that I desire the Lord to change in 2014. And I just put categories here. Maybe it's a physical problem, physical things. And you know, it's discouraged you. You've been troubled by it. Physical. It might have been emotional. Maybe it's a family problem or a family need. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's a relational need. I don't know. And there's others. You can add to it. I just put some categories down for you to consider. When you look back over 2013, what's troubled you? What bothers you? What would you like to see changed? To write it down. That's what Hannah was doing. She was crying out before the Lord. And then the second aspect, like Elisha, I long for a double anointing in the following areas. And again, I just put some areas down. You might have a completely different list. And it may not even be, it's not even a list. It was just ideas to get you thinking. What would you want a double anointing in? Maybe it's influence. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have a double anointing. I want to be more influential at my work, in my neighborhood, in school, whatever. You just want to have more influence. Effectiveness. You just want to do things better. You want a double portion of that. Or leadership. There's nothing wrong with wanting to lead. The Bible says that if a man wants to be a bishop, that's a good desire. What do you long? What do you desire? What's your ambition? What's your spiritual ambition? Or giftedness, whatever area of your gift is. You know, some people are gifted in teaching. Some people are gifted in serving. In Romans 12, it has seven areas of giftedness. Maybe you recognize what your gift is, but you say, you know what, this year I'm going to believe for a double portion of that. I'm going to believe for a double anointing in that area. And you just say it before the Lord. Or maybe it's in servanthood, or maybe love. I want to be more loving. I realize, man, I'm not as loving as I should be. Or maybe I'm not as patient as I should be. I've come real short. I've fallen into habits of just reacting so strongly, and I just need more patience. Or maybe you need more gentleness. I don't know what it is. But if you would ask the Lord and look at your heart and say, Lord, what do I desire from the Lord as a double portion? And by faith, lay hold of it. Like Hannah, like Tracy. You know, just say, I believe what the pastor's saying. I believe this is a year of a double portion. And so this is what I'm believing for. And then I think you got to look at the distractions. Because immediately Elisha had lots of distractions. So here's something to consider. And here's the thought that came to me, and maybe it's just personal to me. But maybe it relates to you. I will half my distraction of, and fill in the blank, and I will focus on this. There's nothing wrong with Elisha talking to the apprentices that were in the school of the prophets. There was nothing wrong when Elijah said to him, you can stay here, that he could have stayed there and done whatever he was doing. But he said, no, I got to focus. I'm going to keep my eyes on this goal. So there are lots of things in my life, in your life, that distract us from spiritual objectives. It's not that it's sinful, but it just distracts me. And so I would ask you to consider half the distraction and add that on to your focus. How do you know what distracts you? Well, there's two things that I think you can determine. Your time and your resources. Where you spend your time and where you spend your money basically is showing where you're spending your life. Where you spend your time and where you spend your money. And where you're spending your time and money may not be wrong. Nothing sinful about it. But if you're believing for a double portion in another area, maybe the Lord would say, why don't you half your time there, half your focus there, and add that on to this endeavor, which has eternal consequences, that have eternal benefits. Add it on to that part. And again, no one can tell you this. I mean, this is not to be imposed on anyone. This is for you before the Lord to consider and ask and let Him lead you and guide you, because it'll be different for every one of us. And just ask, where am I spending my time and my focus, and where should I be? And if I'm going to believe for a double portion of that area, I'm going to be focused on it. So I just said half. You might want to do it differently. I'm looking at my own life, where I spend my time. My folks, okay, I'm going to cut back on that. I'm going to add it to a different focus, because I'm going to believe for a double portion. Then here's the last one, and it relates to Hannah and bringing her double portion offering. I will double my offering to the God in the following areas. Now just suppose for a moment, folks, if we all doubled the time we spent in prayer. How much time a week do you spend in prayer? What if we just doubled the amount of time we spend in prayer? Wow. I think that stands good for me. Now, some of you may need to pray a little bit before you double it, because double nothing is nothing. What if we doubled our time in God's Word? Are you reading through the Scripture? How much do you spend in the Word of God? What if you this year just said, for this year only, for 2014, I'm going to double the time. And I want to help us as we go into this in coming weeks, maybe giving us some reading guides to read through the Bible in a year. I think it'd be, not that everyone would want to do this, but for many of us, that might be a good goal. I want to read through the Bible this year, and I'm going to use this reading guide to do it. Whatever. Double the time that you think about and you focus on sharing your witness with others. Are you praying for other people? Are you investing in the life of someone else? Are you sharing the good news with people? What if we doubled the time we did that? What about our service for the Lord? Our involvement in things? Not everyone needs to double. I know that there's people in the church here. You spend a lot of time in your involvement in church and ministries of the church. The Lord probably wouldn't want you to double your time. Others, though, the Lord might say, yeah, you need to double your efforts in the church. And it's not just the church. I'm just trying to give an illustration. It can be in any area of service that you just feel the Lord saying to you, yeah, you double that. And you don't do it because you're expected to or you have to, but no, this is my hunger to do this. I want a double portion. And the last one is giving. What do we give to the church financially? Some again. You don't need to double what you're giving. But then again, see, I'm talking to myself. I think to myself, well, you don't need to double what you're giving. You're giving more than your tithe. Well, I haven't ruled that out yet. I need to talk to Kay. I need to talk to the Lord. I need to say, okay, what about that area? Because it's a sacrifice. Offering is a sacrifice. David said, when he was going to make an offering to the Lord, And one of the, his folks there said, "Hey, I'll give you the sheep and I'll give you this. You do your offering. Let me give you the sheep and the goats to make your offering." And David said, "No, I'm not going to take that." He said, "I will not offer to the Lord something that costs me nothing." Now, David was a man after God's own heart. And he said, "I'm not going to offer to the Lord something that doesn't cost me anything." And so you have to ask yourself. And again, this, folks, do understand, this is no pressure. This is not, you know, we're expecting, you know, this is between you and God. And just trying to give you areas to consider, to say, where, what should I do in these areas? And if God prompts you to increase, and if God prompts you to double or whatever, then follow what the Lord says, because it's all sowing in to your double portion blessing. And so this is our theme, and I've spent more time than I intended this morning, but I do want to give you the overview, and the Lord's leading, we'll try to come back and we'll circle around some of these areas again. Do take this sheet home. Prayerfully consider it in the next couple of weeks. Kay and I are going away on the vacation you gave us as a church from our 40th anniversary, our 40th church anniversary. So we're leaving this Thursday for a week. We're taking this week in Cuba. We'll be thinking how nice you folks have been to us as we're there. But I want to take the sheet with us. And I want Kay and I to, as we're away, to consider these things for 2014. I encourage you to do so. And we'll see how the Lord leads us as we come back together and we see what God has. You know what? 2014, here we come. Here we come. There's something about this year. I've got a good feeling about 2014. And here we come. Would you stand with me this morning? Amen. Lord, I just want to say I want to receive this word. I thank you for it. It's an encouraging word. It's a challenging word. Lord, I want to receive it in my heart. I ask, Lord, that everyone now will take this to the Lord. And Lord, would you speak to every family, speak to every individual, Lord, as we move into this new year. May it truly be a year of double portion. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be dismissed. If anyone would like prayer, there are people here that will pray with you at the conclusion of this service. Do come up. Go in the name of the Lord.